All right, welcome to the first episode of our podcast, Up on Foil, where we will talk about and talk to people who enjoy being on foil. I'm Matt, living in Switzerland.
And I'm Gael, living in Cyprus from Italy.
All right, now we will have interesting people who are into foiling, whether it be pump foiling or wing foiling or any other sort of foiling on. We're going to have Gwen Le Tutor on, and I'm really looking forward to that. But let's just start by introducing ourselves. Maybe you can share your story, Gael, in a couple of sentences.
Yeah, for sure. So just a quick introduction. I'm 21. I'm probably younger than everybody thought. I got into pump foiling 2 years ago because after a trip to Mauritius, I was completely in love with kiteboarding. And then I was looking on YouTube for ways to get into kiteboarding, kitesurfing, even though I was living in Italy in the mountains, like 300 kilometers away from the sea. And while I was scrolling on YouTube, I stepped onto a Wakedive video, and I saw this guy surfing on a flat lake, and I was like, okay, that's my thing. So I bought a board and a foil almost right away. Of course, it was a completely wrong gear. That's why it took me so long to actually even get a foil. However, that inspired me, and that's why I actually started my journey on YouTube, and I started sharing my lessons, my small tutorials to help people out in their pump foil journey. That's pretty much how I got into pump foiling. And for what concern what I do in my normal life, I'm running a content marketing agency.
All right. I think it's great because you're from Italy, you have the Italian accent. I'm from Switzerland, I have a different sort of accent. So it's easy for people who just listen to us to distinguish whether it's you or me talking. So that's great.
For sure, that's for sure. But tell me a little bit about you. I know that you have kind of like a different background.
Yes, I'm Matt. I'm older than you. I'm 38, I think, now. And I was on the water pretty much my whole life. I started sailing Optimist. This was this little boat when I was 6. And I started to sail regattas, was underwater all the time. Did a lot of windsurfing too as a kid, and we went to Fuerteventura quite often in the Canary Islands, and I saw the kiters and I thought, no, I'm a windsurfer, I'm gonna stick with that. And then suddenly I thought, well, you know, I should try it at least once. And I tried it and it was super fun, but I was always a little bit scared of the kite, it being that far away, and I saw some horrible crashes, but I still did it and it was fun. I also did some kite foiling a bit, but it took a while to realize that you don't have to lean into the kite, but you have to stand on the foil and just, it's more that flow state. So that took a while till I got that. And then I saw the wing foilers and I thought, well, that looks stupid. But of course I wanted to try it as well. I tried it one afternoon as I already knew, kite foiling, it was super easy. Like, they had me go out on a surfboard with the wing, and I only had 2 hours of time. And I was like, come on, I really want to get on foil now. So after like 100 meters on the surfboard, they gave me the wing foil gear, and I started foiling immediately, and it was super easy. And I thought, that's my life. I'm going to be on foil all the time. But in Switzerland, as you know, there's often just no wind. So what to do then? I don't know. It was probably the wave. Wave Thief, is it called? Wake Thief?
Wake Thief, yeah.
I saw his videos too, and I thought, well, I'm never going to be able to do that. And then a friend of mine, Bava, we're going to have him on as well. He's a kite foiler, cool guy. His dad is from Finland. And he said, come on, let's try that pump foiling thing. And I just used my old wing front foil, the aluminum mast, and his kite foil board. And we just went at it, and I was super scared at first to hit my head and whatnot. And then I started watching videos. I started in February, and you can imagine February in Switzerland. Oof. It was 5-8 degrees with the 7mm wetsuit, but I enjoyed it so much that I really had to buy the gear, man. I stay with the wing foil front wing, with the fat one, for long because of money. It's super expensive, everything. But then I think it was your video talking about the Clubber 80, and I thought, well, that's a nice price. And he said that it's okay. So yeah, I got into it even more, and it's super because now I don't even need wind to get on foil, and I just need to go on the water all the time, as much as possible.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you mentioned that you were scared of hitting your head on the dock. And on that note, we can introduce the topic of this episode, which is...
Wow. Wow, what a segue, man. That wasn't planned. That should have been planned. Yeah, that's great. So the first time you went on the pump foil, what did you wear?
Absolutely nothing. My board shorts. My same Harley board shorts that I'm wearing since 3 years. No, yeah, of course, this is not like how you do it. It's super dangerous. I mean, I don't want to say that the sport itself is super dangerous. It is dangerous if you start with the wrong material, with the wrong mindset, with the wrong process, like learning process, and of course, absolutely without gear. I remember that the first month I risked hitting my head on the dock because more often than not, since you're scared at the beginning, you are not jumping forward because you don't trust the lift of the board. So you land your feet towards the back of the board. So the board just take off and you slip back and you risk hitting your head on the dock. And that's probably one of the most dangerous injuries that you can get pump foiling. And then luckily I didn't hit the dock, but I had a good amount of scratches due to falling on the foil. And that's another point that maybe we'll discuss later during the video. But I wanted to ask you, how did you start? Because yes, you had this very thick wetsuit, and that for sure helps. But what else?
Yes, and I didn't use it as a safety issue because the very first time I went pump foiling was on the Lake of Thun in the end of February, around my birthday. My wife gave me as a present to go on this sauna boat with some friends. So it is like a little motorboat raft sort of thing with a sauna on top. And the other guy, Pavel, came with me and he said, all right, we have to gonna try pump foiling because we have our gear now and we're gonna be hot from the sauna and it's gonna be fine. So really, there was no way to put the board somewhere. We just put it out there and tried to jump. And so it was pretty scary. I think I used my helmet though, because from kiting, I had like this water helmet. It's a little too big. It moves all the time. It's terrible. But at least I had that, and that gave me some sort of security. I've never used it though, so I've never bumped my head while wing foiling or kite foiling or pump foiling, but it gives you that sort of security still.
Yeah, and on that note, I remember that when we went together to Bielbien, luckily, Bats Müller joined us. He was wearing... board shorts, yes. He was wearing a lycra, very, very thin wetsuit, but he was wearing a helmet. So even he,
all the time,
even though he's one of the best wing foilers, pump foilers, and whatnot in the entire world, he was wearing a helmet. That's something that it's admirable. And I thought he's right. Like, he has a daughter, he's a father, he's a husband, he's a public figure. So why risking if you can just prevent it with a helmet? So I really, really admired that, and it made me think a lot. Now, I don't have a daughter yet, but it really made me think.
I went after that, when we saw him, I went to check online how much that helmet costs, and it's not that expensive. It's like $120.
Yeah.
And it's probably a comfortable helmet because mine is too big, it's heavy. Maybe it was cheaper, but not that much. And if you have a comfortable helmet, then why not? Yes, of course, if we compare it to your area, it's probably rather warm, so you're probably happy to be without anything, just your bathing suit. But in Switzerland, as you remember, even in summer, the water is not too warm, so if you fall in, you're happy to wear a little something.
Yeah. And the thing is that if you're scratching yourself, like worst case scenario, you have to put some stitches. Like, it's very hard that pump foiling, you're doing something worse than stitches. Like, okay, if it's wing foiling, if high speed is involved, then yes, you might cut yourself deeper. But with pump foiling, you can prevent scratches with these wetsuits or even with an anti-cut t-shirt. But the head, it's a problem because you can hit your head on the dock. And if you hit your head, it might go way worse than just some stitches.
Yes, but you had to get stitches, right? Another segue. Come on, let's tell us your story. Ooh, about
when, we're killing when you it. Get stitches.
With, that looked terrible.
With these transitions, we are killing it. Yeah,
extremely cool.
However, yeah, that's another point. You know, we mentioned that we need the right gear, we need the right learning process, and we need not to be stubborn. And well, in that session, at Nisi Beach, one of the most beautiful beaches in Cyprus, I was stubborn. I was using the wrong gear. I didn't wear protections. I was tired. And I was just trying to... So it was my second time beach starting. And I was like, yeah, last session, it took me only two hours. And then I was able to beach start four times. So this time I'm going to use a faster foil, right? Because then I want to ride those waves. And so I did. I got my smaller foil. It was not super, super small. It was a bit smaller than the one that I had. But another thing was that the beach in that second session was flatter because it was less wavy. So the foreshore was more gradual. So I needed to run more to in order for the water to get deeper. So I was like more than an hour in the session. And I just did a stupid thing. So first of all, we need to take breaks. Because if we don't take breaks between attempts, then we are getting tired, we're getting mentally fatigued, and we increase drastically the chances of getting injured. And for what concerns the beach start, it's even worse. Because when you're dock starting, you make an attempt, then you fall, then you have to swim back, come back up on the dock, and then you can make another trial. Between trials, we can say that 1 or 2 minutes elapses. But when you're beach starting, you can literally make probably 3 attempts per minute. So you made the calculations, and after 1 hour of attempts, you are dead because you're also running. So it's even more energy demanding. Long story short, I was tired. I was frustrated. So I jumped on the board. I was on the board. I was on foil. But I knew that I didn't have enough speed to keep going. My brain was switched off. So I just stayed on the board until the board stalled. The front wing hit the seabed. The foil turned like 180 degrees. And then I just fell on the foil. And then thanks God or thanks Gael, I don't know. I had I put my hands down. So I had two choices. Either put my hands down, but I was falling with my head right on the step. And instead, I just put my forearm in front of me to protect my face. My arms were probably not long enough to protect my head from the step because the step was like probably 40 to 50 centimeters above the water. So yeah, I just put my forearm and that's the deepest cut that I made. And then I don't know how I also got my back with the front wing. That was a less deep cut. The worst scar is on my back because I didn't actually then use the sunscreen after that. So yeah, not again, ideal. But yeah, that's pretty much the story. And what you can learn from that, just don't be stubborn. Follow the step-by-step process. Watch our videos so that you know the right step-by-step process to follow. Yeah, use the right gear. Don't be cocky.
Well, let's just talk about these the gear, the safety gear you can buy. We talked about helmets. Of course, if you bump your head, that's not good, obviously. But now with your story, a helmet would have not helped. But what might have helped was this non-scratch fabric, these non-scratch shirts. What do you think? Non-cut, anti-cut. Sure.
Yeah,
what are they called?
Anti-cut t-shirts. Yeah, I think that they're calling them anti-cut t-shirts.
Yes, exactly.
For sure, that would have helped a lot. But even just like a lycra, whatever it's called, a very thin wetsuit would have helped, really. I don't think I would have avoided the cut on my forearm with anything, but probably the cut on my back, I would have been able to avoid it, yeah.
Because the advantage of these anti-cut shirts, and I'm probably going to buy one too for next year, is not only it helps against these, and I mean the stabs, they're daggers. They're so extremely sharp. You can cut your cucumber, obviously, but you can cut anything really. And if you have these anti-cut shirts, it's against the cuts, but also against the sun. And I mean, if you're out there, especially you, it's probably nicer or better weather in Cyprus. You're in the sun all the time. You're in the water all the time. And the sunscreen is going to be washed off. You can use the best sunscreen. It won't work for a long time. So that's probably just a good idea to get one of these shirts, right?
Yeah, that's it. It's so light. It doesn't get heavy. Even if it's wet, it can really save you a trip to the hospital. So it's probably a good investment to invest $100 and get one. The only thing is that there are a few brands right now that are actually producing these kind of shirts.
Yeah, I've seen, well, I ride Gong, as you know, and I'm just looking at their stuff. And what is it? A little more than $100?
Yeah, for sure. It's not that that expensive. Or because if we have a look at the fabric itself, the fabric alone is quite expensive, so it's understandable that the price is not the price of a normal t-shirt. But yeah, I would love to see more brands coming out with new shirts. Or maybe I'm gonna make. I really thought about making one. I was about to buy the samples. Yeah, I was about to call to buy the samples to see if I could try to make something and hire my grandmother.
Nice.
To make t-shirts.
But then you stopped.
Yeah, I had other things going on, the agency and stuff. So I kind of aborted the idea. But that's probably something that it's quite a good, you know, a foil accessory brand. Why not?
Plus, if you don't use it against cutting yourself, you can also save your wetsuit. Because if you fall on your foil, it's gonna cut the wetsuit very quickly. But if you can stop that already, then it's a good investment, I think.
For sure. Did you ever cut yourself? Did you ever heard about someone cutting himself? Did you ever your wetsuit?
No, never. I'm gonna knock on wood, but no, I have never had that problem. But my sister-in-law actually went pump foiling, or at least she wanted to just get on the belly and see how she moves. And when she was swimming out to the raft, I probably didn't mention that, or I didn't mention it enough to her, that she has to swim behind or way in front of the gear. And she kind of walked next to it and she kicked the stab with her foot. And it was like a centimeter wide hole, but water just entered the top part of her foot, and she had to get stitches and couldn't go swimming for another week. So that was terrible. And there was another guy, a friend of mine, Fabio. He wanted to try it, and he's super sporty, and he has a moth, and he knows how to foil, and he just wanted to get on foil. So I told him, well, just stand up to the front if you really want to go, and fall to the front. And we can talk about these practices later on too. But obviously at a certain point he fell, and he kind of tried to stop the fall with his hands. And he cut a pretty deep cut on his little finger. It was not that bad. Could have been worse. I mean, if you have your stab near your face or in your face, and there's the helmet won't help, then that's going to be a trip to the hospital, the plastic surgeon. That's not going to be good. You can just cut your nose, right?
Yeah,
cut off your nose. Fun.
That's not fun.
And I'm always scared. My son doesn't want to pump foil at the moment because I tell these horror stories.
Yeah, again, we don't want to scare people, because if you follow the instructions, if you follow the steps, it's not more dangerous than other sports. Come on. Again, speed is not involved. So once you're up, once you're away from the dock, there are very, very few ways that you can get injured with, right? So you mentioned about the adjustments that you can make in your technique to prevent injuries. Now, in my opinion, one of the best ways to prevent injuries is keep your hands on the board. Now, we know that we have to make the distinction between drop starting and dock starting. So drop starting is when you throw the board from a high dock and then you jump on it.
Do you like that?
I like that start because it's easier to start smaller foils. It's easier for maybe not too young people because maybe they don't have a huge mobility anymore. It's in general easier to generate speed, although it's a bit harder to get the feet placement right. However, that's dangerous because there isn't really a predictable way to keep your head far from the dock. On the other hand, if you're practicing the dock start and you keep your hands on the board all the time until your feet are nicely placed on the board, on the pad, at that point, it's very hard to get injured. Because listen, if you really have your hands on the board, then the board acts as a shield between you, your body, and the foil. So even if you slip, even if you fall backwards, even if you fall in front or on the side, still, you always have the foil far away from you.
Plus, you keep your hand on the rail, right? Yeah. It's before standing up, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. For me, honestly, the drop start, I'm still a bit scared of the drop start because even though I know how to throw the board, I think sometimes it moves a bit different. And you start jumping before the board is in place. So this part of a second is a bit scary still for me.
Yeah, yeah. It's not probably super, super predictable. I mean, as predictable as the dock start. And yes, it's a bit more scary. Yeah, because it's not natural. Come on, you have to jump on nothing. And then and there is actually something. And I want to mention another thing for what concerns the drop start, which is not necessarily related to safety. But I know that you have quite a big foil with a good low-end lift. And in my opinion, with such a big foil, drop start is harder. So when you land on the board, you're transferring a ton of momentum on the board, right? Yeah. But if you have a ton of momentum and a ton of lift, then it's really harder to handle all these forces and to go on rather than, just running and then stepping on the board. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if you have a smaller one, it's also easier to correct if you don't exactly have the feet where they need to be. But, you know, it's just about sending it. And I'm not the person that takes risks a lot. So I'm pretty defensive concerning risks. And I still try it every once in a while. Sometimes you have to. Sometimes there's just no other way to start than to drop start. But I tried the Evon's reverse start as well. And for me, it doesn't matter which one I do. It's just always this momentum. Okay, all right. Focus and then just send it. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
But I haven't hurt myself yet. It's just, the red part of the skin when you fall on your back, that's okay. That's
yeah. But yeah, I've seen the way you start and you're pretty sharp. You're almost like a cat, so you're pretty gentle. And you're always keeping your hands on the board until your feet are nicely placed on it. So I can understand why you didn't get injured. Because as you said, you're not taking huge risks and you're using the proper technique. So I can get
plus,
why.
Plus, I'm not flexible. People always say, well, I'm not flexible enough. I cannot touch the floor with my hand when my legs are straightened. So I'm not flexible. So it's just, you know, you had this... this videos where you show the dry training, the training on land, right?
Yeah. I've made a bunch of videos, two quite recently. One, I talk about stretching, how important stretching it is. If you're not able to easily run and then step on the board from a low dock, then that's probably a mobility problem. And you can solve it just by stretching on a daily basis. You can solve that problem. And stretching is so beneficial in so many areas of life besides pump foiling. And then, yes, land training is fundamental to prevent injuries because you can practice the feet placement before actually getting on the board. And you can practice it in a safe, controlled environment, your couch, like this Bosu ball that I used in the last land training video that I did. So that's another way to prevent injuries.
What I usually tell my friends when they really want to go on and get on the feet, that if they feel like they start falling, they should just go with it. Like you tilt to the left, all right, it's over. Just fall to the left and it's going to be fine. Or try to kick your board away while jumping the other direction. But don't try to stay on as long as possible, because as soon as, you're done, you're done.
I totally agree. I would have avoided my stitches if I would have followed this rule that you just mentioned. So don't try to save the impossible and just eject. When you see that it's not a good launch, and be true to yourself. You know, if it's a bad launch, you know it from the very first moment. So just eject, abort it.
Yeah, totally agree. And also what I think is important, that you don't make shortcuts. If you look at the other ones, they're super good and you just started, don't do the same as they do. Just go over your routine, try to go step by step. There's super cool videos how to do it, and just follow simple steps. Maybe we can just, or you have this pump foil guide. Maybe you can tell our listeners what that is and where they can find it, because it's a super guide, step by step, really. Just go one step after the other, right?
Let me pitch my free pump foil guide. You can go on my Instagram account or on my YouTube videos, and in the description or in the bio, you'll find this link, and you can download, get access, and then download this document, which is nicely organized. So it's super easy to, find what you need exactly. So you don't necessarily have to read all the 60, 70 pages. I don't remember how much text I threw there. But anyway, and in there, I really, really spent quite a good amount of time explaining what, in my opinion, is the best step-by-step process that you have to follow if you want to learn faster, avoid struggling, struggle less, and prevent injuries. Because if you follow the steps, it's just going to be, everything is going to be easier.
And let's be honest, it is a struggle.
But that's the beauty.
I think so too. But some people might think like, it looks cool, I want to do it, I'll do it now. And honestly, as I did some kite foiling, I knew wing foiling, I thought, it's going to be a breeze. I'm just going to step on the board. And how hard can it really be? And it was hard, really harder than I thought. And a friend of mine, Cody Eisenhut, he's going to be on the podcast as well. He's a pro kiter. Or he used to be a pro kiter, kite foiler. And he did more or less the same thing. He thought, it's going to be easy. And he improved faster than other ones would. But it still takes time. Even though you're on foil, you know how it works. It's more difficult.
Yeah. I see a lot of wing foilers. I know how to pump. It's going to be super easy. No, it's not. Because maybe you know how to pump, but then you don't have anything in your hands. And then still, you have to generate that speed. While at least when you're up on foil, you generated that speed with the wing. To wrap everything up. So tell me.
Go ahead. Would add something else if I might. Because the safety for yourself is one thing. But there are usually where you pump, there might be swimmers, there might be other pump foilers. So I think it's super important also to just don't go too close to swimmers. If someone's swimming near you, just don't go.
For sure. You actually made me remember an experience that I had this Saturday. I went on a very beautiful beach here in Cyprus, and I was trying to beach start, and then it wasn't really the right beach, so I just rock started. And then I know what I'm doing right now, and I was I was keeping a good distance between the foil and the swimmers, but still a lifeguard just approached me and kindly asked me to not foil anymore there, because he was scared that I would cut other people. So especially if you're not fully in control of your ride yet, just stay away of other people.
Friend of mine told me the story, Nick. He was in Hilterfing, Lake Thun, and he just started and went, and then suddenly in front of him, he saw air bubbles. So there was actually someone swimming or diving for about 20 meters from the other side of the area, and he just dove underneath, and he didn't hit him. But I mean, if you hit someone on speed with your foil, I mean, that's going to be super dangerous.
Yeah, Yeah, that's not fun. Yeah.
How about wave thieving? I mean, that's another security thing. Here in Switzerland, we have the rule that we cannot approach boats closer than, I think, 50 meter it is.
Mm.
And they're super nervous too. But I say, if you don't go next to them, but a little bit behind them, nothing's ever going to happen because they cannot break that fast. You're going to fall before they break. And that shouldn't be a problem, really.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's... I don't think it's actually possible that you get sucked by the propellers. Or again, if you're like 5 to 10 meters away from the boats, from the propellers, then you shouldn't really be worried about. I mean, just look at look at people who are wakeboarding. They are super close to the boat, right? Okay, maybe the boat doesn't have propellers. I'm not sure. Maybe they have this hydro something. Just like jet skis, I'm not sure.
But you can still be on the platform on the back. But something else I think that might be interesting, because you went downwinding a bit with your pump foil gear, right?
Yeah.
And I saw you had your goggles and your snorkel with you. Was that a safety thing as well? Or
yeah, so that, here's the thing. I already got quite a good amount of comments. What are you doing with the goggles? are you stupid? So here's the thing. Can I do what I want, first of all? And the second thing is, is this one. I don't have a big board. I don't know how to wing foil yet. I don't know how to downwind foil, like get up with a paddle. I don't have a surfboard to prone foil with. And I don't have an impact vest. So, and I'm a decent swimmer and I like open water swimming. So I said, okay, I'm going to combine the two things. So I got kind of like a small leash. I'm going to get a waist leash just because if I fall far out, I want to be able to attach my foil to myself and maybe I can keep my mask, my dive mask, or even just swimming goggles around my neck. And I can just swim. I have my little chill swim back to the dock. I just invented a new sport, which is called pump downwind foil open water swimming. and yes, you need.
I thought when I saw it, I thought it was to put a camera here or something. Then I saw it was goggles, and actually, I thought I don't know what they're called in Switzerland or in German. They're called sea hedgehogs. You know, these balls with the spikes all around, these animals. And I thought it was when you wanted to exit that you don't step on one of those.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, the reasons are many too. First of all, it's just easier to swim. If you have goggles, it's just easier to swim back. And then that place is incredibly rocky, super rocky. Like even if you're far out and then suddenly you can see a rock almost at the surface level that you would probably even hit with your foil, right? So I wanted to at least be able to see a bit what's underneath so that I can protect my foil, because still I'm dragging my foil behind me. I'm holding my foil like between my arm and my trunk, or maybe I'm zooming, I'm paddling on the foil. So I want to be able to watch underneath me so that I'm not scratching my foil for no reasons. So yeah, and they were useful. My goggles were useful.
Nice, very nice. And maybe it's just also so people comment on your videos, which is always good, obviously.
Of course.
All right, do you have anything else to add? Safety wise,
there isn't anything that is coming to my mind right now. So yeah, I think that we could wrap everything up. We discussed about helmets. By the way, we didn't mention these soft helmets, because if you're not, if you really think that it's so uncomfortable to wear a hard plastic or carbon helmet, then you can get one of these soft kind of helmets that came out just probably recently, and you almost don't feel it on your head, and it does the job. For what concerns the impact vest, I've never wore one, but I honestly, personally believe that it's not that important when it comes to pump foiling, because yes, you can hit the dock with your trunk, but it's pretty unlikely. And even if you fall on the foil, you don't have a huge speed. So you fall on the foil, yes, but scratches are actually the main danger.
When I started, I used just a regular life vest, but it was because the water was 5-6 degrees. And I thought, if I hit anything or if I cramp up or anything, at least I'll float and they can like go and pull me in. So that's why I used one. So helmet, impact vest if you want, or just life jacket, anti-cut shirt we talked about, and maybe shoes or neoprene socks so you don't scratch, so you scratch a little less.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that. Again, I'm gonna be super quick, but I'm mainly rock starting here in Cyprus, and I could remove my socks right now and show you my feet, but that's probably not gonna be YouTube friendly.
Maybe some other times. If you want that, leave that in the comments though.
Yeah. Oh, if you want my feet, I can even open OnlyFans or these kind of things that are viral right now.
Sure.
Maybe I can make money more than I'm doing now with my YouTube channel. But yeah, I'm always scratching my feet, and that will be super easy to avoid with even just some neoprene socks, super cheap neoprene socks. But I like the feeling of the rocks hurting me. But yeah, yes, it's just cheap. Thing. You can just buy these socks or even these barefoot shoes that a lot of pros are using. Yvonne, Seb Suji, they are all wearing these shoes, and there should be a reason, right? If they're doing it.
Mm. But the anti-cut shirt, I'm going to get one for sure. That's something that I'm really going to gonna buy.
Yeah.
Not just for not scratching myself or cutting myself, but also against the sun. I think that's a really good thing.
For sure. And it's probably sometimes even more comfortable, than a Lycra. You know, it's kind of looser, so it's not necessarily compressing you. So yeah, it's just a good solution.
Good. And then, speaking about like the strategies, the technical side, don't let go of your board. Jump too much to the front, if anything. And yeah, don't hit your head, man.
Yeah.
All right. Just, you're gonna leave a link to your pump foil guy down there, right?
So for sure.
I'm just gonna tell what we're gonna talk about in the next episode, which we're gonna record pretty soon. It's been a while already, actually, now, like 1.5 weeks ago. There was a Swiss Pump Foil Championship in Wingels, which is close to Biel, where we were. And the organizer, Gregu Christian Müller, he is going to talk to us about that, about his project, because he has a lot of more projects. And he's a really cool guy, and we're going to talk to him tomorrow.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to it, because honestly, I didn't even wear... aware of the existence of this contest, so I'm really looking forward to that.
All right, cool. Well, then see you guys in the next one,
and I will see you tomorrow.
Yes.